It was simply just intuition based to quit that gym job. It was simply that. It was just like, I need to just take this
risk. Had you made any money on real estate yet?
No, not a dollar.
Yeah.
I literally was like, I need to just go because I can't do this. How am I going to grow my business if half the day I can't answer my phone?
All right, Roy.
What's up, my guys?
How are you doing today?
Doing great.
Thank you for coming in.
Appreciate it. Thank you both for having me.
So I think you're the first. It's kind of funny because we're the Nickel Up podcast. We talk about getting your nickel up, hustling, business, entrepreneurship, all these different things. I don't think we've ever had anyone in the real estate industry on yet.
No, that's not true. We had Mr. LLC.
Oh, we did have. Yeah, we
do. Sorry, you're number two. But
you can't talk about nickeling up, though, without real estate.
Right.
You know, you can't.
That's talk just like tried and true OG.
True asset.
It's always going to be there.
Always going to be there. Oh, hopefully always going to appreciate as time goes on.
What do you like about real estate? I have a follow-up question for this.
Sure.
We have a big friend group who's, you know, all entrepreneurial in their own given ways, but they're very divided on the best way to create wealth.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to start off with the question, what do you like about real estate?
That's a loaded question, but there's a lot of ways to grow wealth. Also, real estate's not the only way. So your friends are correct in that sense. I just think real estate might be the safest way. But what do I love about real estate is that, you know, a lot of people, they all like certain things. They all don't like certain things. There's not an overlapping commonality amongst everybody, except one thing, that they all need a place to live. So it's really cool that everybody needs a place. Everyone needs a roof. Everyone needs their own home. Everyone needs a place that they can go after a long day of work and kick their feet up and feel at peace. And it's cool just to be a part of that for everybody, whether it's renting an apartment or buying your first house or selling your house and buying a bigger house because you now are expanding the family. So like really important monumental steps in people's lives. And it's, you know, I love the city of Boston, so it makes real estate fun that I really believe in the product because I really believe in this city for a lot of reasons. It's just a really beautiful beautiful way to put yourself in a better position in life to buy real estate and to be involved with real estate, in my opinion.
And then like real estate, it's obviously like very difficult to kind of, you know, like purchase your first property,
yeah,
your second property, grow a portfolio. And, you know, a lot of the gains in real estate, they're pretty slow and they take, you know, years to realize.
Sure.
So like, do you think that, you know, everybody should be getting into real estate right in the beginning to be building wealth?
You know, it's not necessarily like right in the beginning. The hope is that over time, things continue to appreciate. If you can't buy real estate, you can't buy real estate until you can. So you really, my best advice would be just to save up money, as much money as you possibly can. You have to take a lot of sacrifices to save money. A dollar saved is a dollar earned. There's never a bad time to start real estate. If you think you're behind the eight ball, you're really not, because I think in another 10 years, if you look at it from the last 10 years, how much Boston, let's talk about Boston specifically, real estate has appreciated almost in some markets over 2 times the median price. I think in the next 10 years, it's only going to increase as well. Maybe not to that magnitude, but increase for sure. So it's never a bad time. It's just about being able to save up and afford, you know, the place that's right for you.
You should be like a politician. I was trying to like lead you into a trap there that I could end up, you know, like sending to our friends. But you answered that well.
No traps.
Yeah, we have a big friend group debate because we have some friends that are in real estate,
cool,
on like the investment side. And then we have friends that like do very alternative assets and do very well with that.
Okay.
But they're like trading sports cards at,
okay,
a very high volume.
Sure.
And it's the whole real estate versus cardboard debate that happens probably on a weekly basis.
Like, you know, the thing is about stocks and e-trading and day trading and card trading and, you know, selling art or whatever it is. And what were those like graphics that were a thing back in the day? I forget those old like, whatever. I don't even know.
V-Bucks.
Huh?
NFTs?
Yeah, NFTs. Oh, okay. Like all that stuff. Like that's all short money.
It's just arbitrage.
It's all low risk, right? Because you don't have to spend a lot of money
relatively,
right? But something about real estate is like you have to. It's a lot of money that you're putting down. It's going to be probably the biggest thing you ever buy in your life will be your house. So there's a lot more risk involved with buying a house. So those people who think like, you know, it's slower with real estate, like, yeah, because you have to build up enough money and you have to buy an asset and then you have to, you know, that may be true, but you know, there's 1,000 ways to skin a cat, right? There's a lot of ways to make money. I can't really speak to like how much money those guys make or how quick they make it in the type of fashion, but no, I just stick to what I know.
I think ultimately too, it's like those ways of business and those like business models and arbitrage, just like strategies are a great shovel to then be able to get into real estate because there is a high barrier to entry. Correct. Unless you want to like put in the hours and years of just like time sucking, you know, work that, you know, you're basically trading your time for the, you know, entry point into real estate.
Correct.
So I think like there's nothing wrong, like you're saying, there's nothing wrong with those. And like, as long as it's your strategy and like, I mean, I don't think you're saying everyone has to get into real estate.
No,
right?
No, but you should definitely, that should definitely be somebody's goal to own property at some point. And it can be anywhere. There's a lot of markets out there that make sense to own and potentially rent out or Airbnb. You can dip your hand in a lot of buckets, you know, and have your money in a lot of different places. There's no problem with diversifying your portfolio in that regard. But real estate is something that everybody should definitely be doing and have a goal to do.
And I think that like a lot of people like end up realizing that, whether it's, you know, sooner rather than later, because, you know, real estate's created more billionaires than any other industry. Correct me if I'm wrong, but.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I mean, you can just, if you think about it back in the day, how much a house costed back in 1995 or 2000, and you see those memes, it's like, what was I doing in eighth grade not buying a house, you know? So the prices have really truly skyrocketed. It's made it hard. So if you can imagine back in the day, if somebody had even what was then a lot of money, but now is maybe not, with the things that they could have bought, multi-unit buildings, and then the price is only exponentially increased with a little bit of updating and stuff like that. So there's a lot of, I'm sure, very wealthy people who have a lot of real estate. But that's a lot of old money, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of old money.
It's passed down from generation
to generation. Yeah, but I mean, even if you're just trying to live a good life and like trying to make money and you're not trying to be the 1%, like you can still make a lot of money purchasing and renting out and investing in real estate and working on and flipping. And there's a lot of ways to do it.
So you talked about briefly just like Boston, you're from Boston, mm-hmm. you love Boston, you mm-hmm. love real estate in Boston. Mm-hmm. Let's get into that. Secondly, I just want to ask you, why is Boston so freaking expensive?
Oof. Well, I guess this is maybe like kind of the same answer for both questions. Why I love Boston is a lot of reasons. I mean, I'm a little bit biased, born and raised here, but you know, there are a lot of different neighborhoods within the city of Boston that are really beautiful, close proximity to each other. And every single one of them has a different story, has different culture, is a different feel. And it's all really cool because they are truly walkable distance to each other. So you could just be walking for 45 minutes down Boston, you walk through three or four different towns and they all have different distinguishing features to them, which is really cool. And you know, growing up in the city of Boston, I went to a high school that you had to live in Boston to go to. And so I met a lot of diverse, you know, upbringings, people from their families, all from different places of the earth. And so it's really beautiful in that sense. But the same reason why it's so expensive is because Boston is the hub for meds and eds. You know, you go to LA selling Sunset, you know, you go to Florida, you know, you're selling the dream to the getaway, right? And but you go to Boston, like we're not selling much else other than medical and education. We have the best you know, medical facilities, hospitals in the world, not in the country. And we have the best universities and colleges in the world, not in the country. In this small little state, in this small little city, it's the top one of one. There will always be international investors in Boston. There will always be international students in Boston. There will always be, you know, advances in Boston. Boston's usually the first to do anything when it comes medically, you know, or really in the world and history too. You can see that we've done some really cool things first. And that's why it's so expensive, because everyone's going to always come here. College is so expensive. You know, where you have tech now, Boston's really big into tech. Boston's a very safe place to put your money, because at the end of the day, schools are always going to be schools and people are always going to need the hospitals. So Boston, your money is so safe here because no other city can provide what we can provide in such a short time. If anyone's sick, they come here. You know, if someone's going to be here for a few years, they typically will spend a lot of money, you know, if they know they have a lot of treatment. It's really a typical thing. And the universities and the teachers at these universities, there's a lot of high paying individuals who live in Boston, who work in Boston. So, yeah, that's why it's going to be so freaking expensive.
That goes over a lot of people's heads.
Yeah.
Like even myself included. It's like, if you don't work in that industry, you're like, I'm not a student at a college in Boston. I didn't, frankly, go to college at all.
Yeah.
Just like something you don't really think about, but yeah, it makes total sense. You go downtown, it's like MGH, Boston, you know, like every medical institution is
BMC,
like,
yeah,
taking over, you know, not even taking over, just like all over the place.
Children's Hospital, the best one in the world, like, you know, it's in Boston.
Yeah.
My girlfriend just got a job there, actually.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Congrats.
Congrats. But that's awesome. But what do you think that does to all the people who like grew up here for generations, and then Boston's becoming more gentrified? It's becoming so expensive that the Irish Catholic families that grew up in Southie and Dorchester can't be there anymore. Mm. You know, like the city's expanding farther and farther. So, you know, you get neighborhoods like Seaport popping up. You know, what do you think it does to a city?
Yeah, you know, born and raised in Boston, you know, my job is to sell real estate, right? But I can still do that with the lens of understanding, you know, what, you know, things are. And what the Boston I grew up, I have no idea what Seaport is. This is so different to me. I talk about walking through those neighborhoods in Boston. Seaport's great and everything, but it's just not for me. It doesn't feel like Boston. It just feels like it's like, you know, just brand new buildings just placed in a part of town that was never anything. Back in the day, there used to be a bar and a couple restaurants here, and then all open water. I used to take the boat to an island. I used to be a lifeguard in a camp. And Seaport is night and day different than what I grew up. It doesn't really feel like Boston. It feels fake almost in a way. And a lot of people who live here aren't from Boston. I'd like to think that like 90% of people who live in Seaport or more didn't grow up in Boston or weren't born in Boston. So with that being said, you know, those same people that, you know, feel like they are being pushed out, you know, their house appreciates as well. You know, those people who have been there forever, there's a good chance that they don't have a mortgage. There's a good chance that they've at least paid a lot of it off. Their house is truly appreciated as well. You know, it's this tough conversation kind of to have, because it's like, if we were in a terrible, you know, in a terrible market and everyone can just stay, then, you know, our Boston economy wouldn't be nothing, you know, if it never really grew. It's like, think about a place like, I don't even know, Indiana or Wyoming or something. Like, if you buy a house there 10 years ago, it's probably close to the same price it is right now. You know, and the next 10 years are probably pretty close to the same price again. There's not going to be that dramatic increase like there is in a city like Boston, because we've grown and we've developed, and we've thrived. But, you know, if you know, at the end of the day, the person in South Boston, if they feel like, you know, they want to be tried and true to South Boston and live there forever and ever and ever, then, you know, they can, and their grandkids will be very thankful for them, because they're going to have a house that costs a lot of money and that has no money, that has no mortgage on it. But if grandma wants to sell and go to Florida and buy something very small for very cheap and live off of money that she just sold her house, she could do that too. So, like, there's benefits to it as well. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's some of these towns, you know, need a little bit of a makeover when it comes to some real estate. But sometimes you feel like they could slow things down a little bit in the same breath.
Well, so get back to the beginning for you, like, yeah, how you initially got your start in real estate. Sure. Like, we were talking the other day. I mean, yep, we met, like, 2 years ago, or uh-huh, like a year and a half ago at like a charity event.
Correct.
And then like didn't really, like, just kind of, you know, mutuals on Instagram would see what we're doing, but finally got to catch up and I heard like your story and like how you got into it, but mm-hmm, maybe just fill us in and the
sure viewers in. Sure. So about, wow, like 6 summers ago, I was at my godmother's house, just a little pool party, and my cousin's husband said, you know, Roy, what are you doing? I was fresh out of college. I was coaching football at my alma mater, BLS, here in high school in Boston. I was coaching football there. And then I was also like working part-time at the gym as well, as a sort of just the front desk person who scans people in. Which I had been working there at this point for like almost 4 years now, 3 or 4 years. So I had been there for some time and I had known some people. So he said to me, he says, Roy, what are you doing? I told him what I was doing. And he says, have you ever thought about, you know, doing real estate? I'm like, I'm 22 at this time. I'm like, no, I've never thought about real estate. I don't know anything about it. I'm fresh out of college. I went to UMass Amherst. I did sport management. I thought I wanted to work in sports, but then I realized I didn't. It takes such a long time to get to the top. You end up resenting the team. I was not in the mood for all of that. I realized I just wanted to kind of walk my own path and see what I could do on my own. So I said, you know, I've never really thought about real estate. And I'm sitting there. My cousin turns to me and she goes, Roy, how old are you? I go, I'm 22. She goes, like, I know a lot of people who do real estate and they always say they wish they started earlier. You're 22 while you're young and, you know, it's not, you're not going to like, you know, go do great right away while you're young. You should do it because the first couple of years are going to be tough. And then something just struck a chord and I'm like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I'm not scared of just putting in the time for a couple of years and struggling maybe for a couple of years to hopefully hit my stride, because I know this is a long-term business. I know if being a real estate agent is not a 5-year business, it's not a 1-year business. It's truly, I knew going into it was gonna be a 20 plus year business. It's a 20 plus year career, because it doesn't really stop. You know, once every year ends, it's just, you're just onto the next deal sort of, you know, it's just another day in my opinion. But so that really struck a chord and I said, you know what, send me the link. And 6 months later, I got my license and I was still sort of working at the gym. I still needed to pay some bills, still needed to make some money. I was thankfully staying at my parents' house, which was so clutch. We talked about that too, just being able to, you know, have great parents who don't mind if you stay at their house for a bit. So I was able to save up a lot of money staying at my parents'. And I started real estate and it was tough at first. It was really, really tough at first. I was doing it part-time and I was at the gym part-time. I had been at the gym almost 3 years now and I was the front desk and I worked out there often. So I knew everyone's face and I knew everyone's name. And I ended up having to quit the gym in full because I said, I can't do this part-time anymore. I just got promoted and everything. I said, I can't do this part-time anymore. I have to do real estate full-time. I have to get in the office early. I need to be around real estate. I need to go on showings. I need to do things. I need to be there all the time. And it was like the best decision I ever made because it really locked me in. The first year, didn't do so great. Second year, I did double from what I did year one, but in from year one to year two, my dad at many times told me, you know, Roy, you need a consistent paycheck. You know, you should do, you know, you should be doing, you know, something else. And I was like, Dad, like, you just need to like believe in me. Like, I believe in myself. You need to be patient with me because it's a long business and things take time.
And at that point, you were what, 24?
Yeah, I was 24 at this time. And my dad still would tell me every week, like, you got to have consistent paychecks. Because in real estate, you know, you have up and down. You could have 1 month, you make no money. You could have another month and make no money. But then that third and fourth month, you were working on some deals and now you have a big check coming in, right? So you have to be smart with understanding, you know, there's going to be ups and downs. But yeah, I slowly but surely, you know, kept doing better and better. And my, you know, and I showed my dad that, you know, I made the right decision.
When you did quit, was there anything like that was going for you or anything like momentum, or was it just like intuition based when you quit your first job?
It was simply just intuition based to quit that gym job. It was simply that. It was just like, I need to just take this
risk. Had you made any money on real estate yet?
No, not a dollar.
Yeah.
I literally was like, I need to just go because I can't do this. I'm how am I gonna grow my business if half the day I can't answer my phone? Do you know what I mean? I'm at the front desk, you're not allowed to even text. I can't grow my business that way. I can't promote that I'm a realtor. Everyone I know that knows me needs to know I do real estate. It's just that simple. And I felt like I was slacking at that. And even my mentor, my boss, my team leader, he was like, you need to do this full time if you want to take it seriously. And I never looked back. And I just said, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And like I said, I was blessed to be able to stay at home. So I knew I had that little bit of a crutch. But yeah. And then about 4 years into the business, when I was 26, you know, I had saved up enough being at home. You know, I had worked hard enough and I felt like it was time and I found the right place. And I bought my first place at 26 in the South End. That was maybe the second best decision I've ever made to this point. I love it. It's a great spot. I feel truly at home there. It's a blessing. You know, I worked really hard for a long time. I saved up a lot. I was telling Aaron, I sacrificed so much. You have to stop like really going out. I couldn't really spend money. I didn't want to spend money. I was really focused. I had open houses every Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, while my friends got to go out and party, and sure, I did too. But if I don't feel sharp at 9 a.m. or 8:30 a.m. when I have to wake up and get ready to go to do an open house or do a buyer showing, if I don't feel sharp, I don't feel like I'm doing my job. You know, I've had that one open house where I feel so hungover, I'm laying down on the kitchen table because it's a little slow, because I really couldn't sit up. Like, I don't want, and I told myself, I don't ever want to feel like that ever again. So, you know, you really just hunker down, you be disciplined, and I really was, and I sacrificed a lot of brunches with my friends and a lot of times going out and celebrating, you know, because I know I had to be up early and I didn't want, and I wanted to get adequate sleep and I wanted to get, you know, good night rest because I wanted to perform well. And I want to do, you know, I take my job seriously. I kind of have a saying that how you do anything is how you do everything. And I kind of really believe that. And I kind of just try to do that in every aspect of life. But yeah, real estate's been, quite a blessing to just be able to, take a risk on it. You know, and it's in a way it kind of took a risk on me. Like, I just, you know, and I appreciate all the people that believe in me and that work with me and that trust me. And I'd be nothing obviously without all that. But yeah, it takes an individual who's not willing to fail to do it. But there's a lot of people that do fail.
What year did you start doing real estate in? Was it 2019?
I think it was really like the end of 2018.
Okay.
Yeah, the end of 2018.
So the time you've been in real estate, yeah. You know, it's been a crazy, you know, half a decade.
Yeah.
Talk about what, you know, what's changed in the real estate market, you know, with COVID happening.
Yeah, for sure. With COVID happening back in 2020-ish, everybody wanted to leave the city. There was a mass exodus. People don't remember. Nobody wanted to share an elevator. Nobody wanted to live above somebody. All people wanted was land, a yard, and a fence. They just wanted their own house. So everyone started heading out to the suburbs. The suburbs prices went skyrocketing. Things were so hard to move in South Boston and Seaport and all these more vertical neighborhoods. And that's when prices were going crazy and all realtors were doing really well. And that's when rates started going down because the economy needed to keep moving, right? Things needed to keep happening. If interest rates were where they are now, it's almost 7%, nothing would have happened. And the economy probably would have crashed because if real estate wasn't churning, nobody would put their money into anything. So they brought rates all the way down to 3%, under 3%. Which is right now crazy, really crazy to even hear that that's really what happened back in like 2020, 2021. And every realtor did really well. And then come a couple years later, rates have started to come back to regular life. We had been kind of living in a la-la land the last couple of years based on what people got accustomed to. Since that had happened, you know, rates had gone up to almost, over 8%. And buyers had really been on a standstill. I mean, what you could afford before is cut down, you know, tremendously, at least maybe possibly by a fifth of what you could have afforded before. At least, you know, maybe a little bit less than that. But real estate sort of slowed down in that sense that the inventory is less, because if somebody bought a house and has a mortgage for 3%, why would they sell their house and go open another mortgage for 7 or 8%? Like, they might get the same mortgage from before. It might not even make this any sense. So there's a sort of a slowdown, which has happened. We have a big problem in our inventory problem. It's been a big problem even throughout COVID as well. Even houses right now, there's a lot of buyers. Things are going over ask. My buyers have been putting in offers for 13, 14 offers still to this day. So if it's a nice house, if it's well-priced, you're going to get a lot of offers because there's just not enough inventory. You go on some neighborhoods, there's like 5 houses for sale in that neighborhood. Single family homes, for example. You know, if you come to the city, there's always options, mm-hmm. right? There's a new condo going on the market every single day in every town. There's a lot of units and a lot of buildings. That's a different market. But, you know, single families and, you know, the real estate market in that regard, it's tough to get your buyers to win because there's nothing out there.
When you're fresh into the industry and then also just like early years of your career, did you go about making the professional connections needed, like with your joining a team and joining, you know, finding other real estate agents to work with and to learn from,
sure.
but then also the connections of, you know, finding clients.
Great, great question. I feel like in terms of the professional connections within my team, I was obviously blessed to have worked, you know, to right from the beginning work at Douglas Elliman, which is a really great reputable brand, and firm. And to work on the Sarkis team with George and Manny, my team leaders who, you know, are also family to me, that helped me in that regard, that I didn't have to go and sort of go looking for that or go somewhere else and realizing I deserve better or I need better. And I just felt like really at home since day one. And it's been, you know, literally quite amazing every single day. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity. So that was sort of, you know, not easy, but I got lucky in that sense. And as for the personal professional connections, when it comes to, you know, people who become clients or friends, or even business alliances within the industry, that's very important. And, you know, being in the business, you know, you get around attorneys, you come around lenders, you come around, you know, accountants. And I've learned that my biggest thing and my most important thing is I want somebody who's just like me, who's hungry like me, somebody who's the same, like-minded like me, who has big goals like me, who will treat their clients the way I treat my clients. What type of level of service do you give your client? And what type, because if I'm going to refer you my client, I want to make sure that I know that you treat them like I treat mine. Because if I give you my client and you're unresponsive or you're not nice or whatever it is, that's a reflection on me. So I meet lenders, I meet attorneys because and you know any buyer will need to get financing, you know, most likely, and any buyer in Massachusetts needs an attorney for representation. So I always say, you know, this person, I'm trusting you to take care of my client. And so they usually go above and beyond because they know that's that level of service that I provide. But then that goes, I think in the same breath, that kind of goes with finding, you know, people is, you know, even myself, I want to work with people who are like-minded for me. You know, I want clients who are like-minded, who have goals of, you know, owning real estate and, you know, potentially having some more financial freedom, as they go get older. And it makes it easy because they know my best interests are at their heart, their best interests at my heart. And they know I'm going to put their priorities first. It's important who you meet, you know, it's important who you're nice to. It's important that you make a good first impression. It's real because people will always remember a first impression and people will, you know, will always remember how you made them feel, not really what you're about. Like, I'm a Roy, sure, I'm a realtor, but you know, I said this from day one, I'll never really forget it. I said this to Manny and George. And, when I first sat down with them, I said, look, I'm really excited to be on the team. But real estate is not what I want to be best known for in my life. I don't want people to remember me as Roy the realtor. You know, I want people to remember me as like, you know, being a good friend and, you know, really being, somebody that somebody can feel better being around, somebody that you can feel like you can trust, you know, being the best, like, you know, father, right? Son, brother, potential father, you know, eventual, you know.
You're alluding to something?
No, not even close. You know, you kind of get, yeah. I just want people to remember me for who, for Roy, and not just being a realtor. And I think that they understand that I'm just their friend. I'm just trying to help them be better in their life and do something better in their life, and I'm gonna look out for them. And I think people understand that about me and can kind of see that. You know, you can kind of smell bullshit. You know, I can kind of see it from, you know, as a realtor, I can kind of read people a little bit, and I can smell bullshit from, you know, a mile away. And I think a lot of people can. So you just got to be yourself, and you know, I think being yourself goes a long way, and people appreciate just the genuine aspect of it.
What's it been like learning from George and Manny?
Learning from George and Manny has been amazing. I've been really lucky. I always tell, you know, I tell the team now, I try to take more of a leadership role now because they're very busy. And I try to tell them, I say, look, guys, like, you know, I was so lucky when I started because they were way less busy than they are now. You know, I really got to be annoying and I really got to be, you know, be a sponge and sit in the car and not say a word all day. Just listen to, you know, how they talk and what they say and the mannerisms and the way they connect. And, you know, I really got to take a backseat to that, literally and figuratively. And, you know, the people on my team now, they don't have that opportunity because they're so busy and they got other things going on and their families are growing and, you know, their kids are older and it's just not the same, in that regard. So they've been absolutely amazing and they're great team leaders and they give us a lot of great opportunity. You know, they have a really strong name in the city. You know, they grew their business in a really interesting, fun way. And, you know, they're truly so, you know, we've grown so much and I'm really proud of them. I've seen it from day one to right now. We used to be a mom and pop shop. We like to think of ourselves more as a Fortune 500 company now, you know, we really, tightened the ship and, we have a beautiful brand new office and financial district I took you by. It's just a beautiful location. And it's, you know, it's serious. So we were the number four team in Douglas Elliman, this in the nation this year. So, which is great. So I'm really proud of the guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Elliman's like a pretty reputable, like, national brand.
Yeah. Right? Have you guys ever watched Million Dollar Listing?
That's, yeah, I've seen. I know the name of the show.
Yeah, yeah. And like Ryan Serhant.
Yeah, that's Serhant.
Yeah. So that's a Douglas Elliman. That's okay. Douglas Elliman show. All those agents are from Douglas Elliman. We've met a lot of those agents, actually. But yeah, Douglas Elliman is really reputable. What I really love about Douglas Elliman is that it's boutique, sort of. There's only like five offices in Boston. I think there's like 95 agents in Boston. Compass has thousands and thousands of agents. I mean, Compass is a great company, but I just like the being like, who's Douglas Elliman? And then you show them the stats and like, whoa, you guys, I never even heard of you guys. And you do all these numbers and, you know, you do all this and it's, you guys are nationwide. And so it's cool.
Do you guys focus specifically too, like on more of like higher end properties and or is that just like what happened like naturally?
That's a great question. Our team is big. We have agents all over who do everything. Mm-hmm. I like to say I do everything. I've done everything from day one. I've never said no to any of my clients. If somebody wants a rental for $2,000, if somebody wants to buy a place for $5 million, I'm not going to say no, you know, in between. You know, sometimes on Instagram, you see the glitz and glamour. I like to make sure I sprinkle a little bit of everything in it just because I do work with first-time home buyers who buy things in 300,000s, 400,000s. It happens to me all the time, and I love doing it. I mean, they trust me to buy their first house. And these are people usually that I know and that maybe I've grown up with or I went to school with or I've met along the way. I work with everybody. I work with everybody. There's nobody I would not work with. There's no price point I would say no to. If for whatever reason it's like a little bit out of my scope, or for some reason if there's a lot on my plate and I feel like I can't give you the best service, I'm going to connect you with somebody on my team that I know can, and we're going to do it together. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure that we can tag team it. If we feel like the thing is too big for one, we bring multiple. That's what a team is for. We don't have one agent that works on any listing by themselves, actually. It's rare occasion, right? But for the most part, we have such a big team. Everyone needs to know everyone's listings. Everyone needs to know what's going on because, you know, I always like to say you can't do anything in life alone. You need a team, right? Like this podcast, one without the other, it's nothing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like you have to understand that, you know, you have to lean on other people in life to like really do great things. And, you know, like I said, you can't do anything in life alone.
What do you think about people getting into the real estate game right now? Sure. What advice would you have for somebody?
Like someone who's becoming a realtor?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right, emergency cool. Power failure.
Emergency power outage.
You lost power.
Like the Super Bowl.
Like the Super Bowl, yeah.
Exactly.
But we just keep it running, though.
In the highest stages.
Yeah. Let's finish it off with that question you sure. asked.
Maybe yes, like, yeah, so basically...
somebody who's just getting into real estate, yeah. You know, like how should they be carrying themselves? Sure. How should they be going about like sure. building their book? Because it's not just the regular job. It really is a
sure.
business.
Sure, great question. So true. Roy Bonham is not merely a person anymore. I'm more of a business now. It's unfortunate. I like to just, you know, be a human being, but you have to understand that I'm in a small city. Anything I do when I leave my door can be seen by somebody who recognizes me. My face has been on a few buildings, like in my neighborhood, you know, selling places or whatever. If I act a fool in public, you know, out in the club, or I do something silly, or someone thinks I'm doing something I'm not doing, you know, that's all it really takes. That's a bad reflection on me. It's such a small city. It can get around so quickly. People talk, and you know, that would be bad on business. Now people will say, oh, Roy's a realtor, but he's out doing this and that. Why would I trust him with helping me buy my house when I seen him outside and, you know, acting a fool? So you have to understand that everyone has eyes on you. It's important that you walk around with that professionalism, that anybody can be your client. Like I said, everybody needs a place to live. Everybody needs a roof. So everybody can be your client. You have to understand that you know, nobody is above you, you know? I'm sorry, you're not above anybody, and I'm not above anybody. I mean, you know, I would never put someone below me. You know, you have to walk around with that humble feeling that you know, you really can relate to anybody. Another piece of advice is find that mentor that's willing to give you their time, because their time is so valuable. I've learned it's maybe the most valuable thing. If somebody's willing to give you their time, then that means that they believe in you. And if you can find someone who believes in you and someone that's willing to get annoyed by your questions and the multiple questions you ask over and over again, if you can find that person, then I think that you could be successful, because there's a lot of things that you learn. First 2 years, I learned something new every single day. I used to tell my dad, I came home every day, damn, I learned something so new. I would never think about it like this, whatever the case is. So yeah, the only way is really to jump in, right? How are you going to get game reps if you don't play in the game? You know, so you just got to...
Watch your film too.
Yeah, you gotta watch the film. I mean, there's a lot of clients that have slipped through the cracks. you know, there's a lot of clients that I've lost offers. There's a lot of clients that, you know, we might not have got the best offer on a house. There's, you got to watch the film. You got to learn how to do better, you know, at the end of the day. But they always could. They always know that, you know, the effort is there, and that goes a long way.
That makes sense. Awesome.
Sorry. This
appreciate you guys. Hey, it's all good. Yeah, you guys need this power.
We're going to start a campfire in here pretty soon.
Yeah, cook up some food. Legit. It's a freezing day today. You guys could probably get this all figured out.
Yeah, we'll
get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much
for coming. My pleasure, guys.
We'll have to do a little part two another time.
Not a problem. We'd love to.
Catch you pretty soon.
Sure. Maybe we'll do one in one of my properties or something.
That'd be great.
That'd be pretty cool.
All right, thank you, bro.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Easy.